Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adusk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, November 27th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, we had a nice day in gold today. Gold prices were much higher in the morning, but of course they got a little soft later in the day. We just about reached 1300 on the day for the day high, and we're currently up $5.40 at $1,294. Silver today basically unchanged at $17.11, but it opened strong this morning. $17.25 was the high, so it did reverse itself to $17.11. Platinum was up $6 today at $952. Along with palladium, up 8 at 1,007. The USDX today was higher by 16 cents at 92.92. We must have had a big drop in the dollar for it to be up 16 cents at 92.92. Surprising to see gold up with the dollar stronger, so we'll see what happens tomorrow. But crude oil was down $1.03 at 57.92. I didn't have a chance to follow the paper markets today. It was an active day coming back from a three-day holiday. I did work Friday morning, and I did work Sunday. And so we have the market was up 22 points today at 23,580. The NASDAQ was up 11 at 6,878. The S&P was basically down a point at 2601. 10-year yield 2.33%, down 0.01, and the euro was down 0.25 at 119. And let's see what else is going on. Hey, Bitcoin surges to new highs today. I guess the next, you know what, 10,000 has been programmed for Bitcoin. So I wouldn't doubt that you wouldn't see that, you know, but it rose above 8,000 about a week ago.
No, it's 9,500. It's 9,500 now. If I understand correctly.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, it's sort of thing where it's like, it's almost irresistible. I mean, in spite of everything you know and everything you think and rest of sort of thing and fundamentals, it's crazy, but it's like doing crack. Which is supposedly, I've never tried it, and I don't do it, and I don't recommend it. But it's like doing a drug that is so addictive that it's just hard to resist. I mean, the money that's coming in there is spectacular. But here's an article from Cointelegraph. Matter of fact, I got a couple of them on Bitcoin. And the headline here from Cointelegraph, which is a publication that is about cryptocurrencies, and it is advocates cryptocurrencies, but the headline is mainstream media on $10,000 Bitcoin. The buyer is the greater fool. And it says Neil Wilson, a senior analyst at London-based ETX Capital, told the UK Guardian that anyone prepared to buy Bitcoin for a higher price was the greater fool. Now, most of you probably understand what they're talking about there, but the theory of the greater fool is that you can buy things that are stupid as long, and you can profit buying things that are stupid so long as you can find somebody who's even dumber than you are. When you find somebody who's more foolish than you are, you can buy something for $100 that's only worth $10 and make a profit if you can find the next idiot essentially says, yeah, I'll pay $150 or $200 for it. Well, that's what he's talking about, this theory of the greater fool. And he says, rather than a commodity or a currency, Bitcoin is like owning stock in a company that will only ever issue 21 million shares and never pay a penny in dividends. The only way this has value is if the next guy is willing to pay you more for it, the greater fool. With no intrinsic value to Bitcoin, it's hard to see how this is anything other than a giant speculative bubble. And yet, here they close the article and they say, surveys have indicated that fewer people believe... This is just... you know, it's what fools these mortals be. You know, it takes you back. I think they believe that's a line from Shakespeare. And he says, surveys have indicated that fewer people believe a $7,000 Bitcoin is a bubble than a $2,000 Bitcoin. When it was $2,000, yeah, it's a bubble. $7,000, no, it's not a bubble. $9,500 can't possibly be a bubble. That's how people are thinking. And like I say, it's like a drug. It's like an addictive drug. But here they, but here's one guy speaking in Cointelegraph magazine. He says, if you're buying the higher price, you are the greater fool. But you can get away with it if you can find someone even more foolish than you are. Here's the second one, also from Cointelegraph. Now, this is where we begin to see a little more reality, in my opinion. And the headline is, up to 4 million bitcoins gone forever. Right? There is more than enough reports on the theft of Bitcoin. We hear those every, we hear those on a regular basis. Somebody broke into some electronic wallet and they stole the Bitcoins. I mean, it disappears. The hackers are getting the Bitcoins on the internet. Right? But there are also instances where people are losing their coins. Just like gold can be sunk with a pirate ship or wads of dollars burned in a fire, digital currencies can also be lost and never found again on the blockchain. Now, that's really interesting to me because I had the impression that whatever the blockchain, once this thing got recorded on blockchain, it was there forever and it could not be lost. All right, it might be a little bit misplaced at times, but you could find it. You hear this? There's a blockchain number, symbol, whatever, that is associated with a particular Bitcoin, and even, you know, there was a way of tracking this back. And it's just, this article says no. Sometimes these digital currencies can be lost and never found again on the blockchain. Meaning, for example, I'm guessing what they're talking about here, but what I believe, there, you have an electronic wallet. The electronic wallet, you can keep it on a thumb drive if you want. All right, protect it from hackers. But if you lose the thumb drive, bye-bye. All right, electronic wallets on your computers. Sometimes the computers crash. If you don't have things properly protected and backed up and whatever, bye-bye. Well, it says new research by Chain Analysis, a digital forensics firm that studies the Bitcoin blockchain, showed that 3.79 million bitcoins are already lost. We can say 3.8 million bitcoins have already been lost. This is on the high estimate of the study's findings, with low estimates still sitting at an astonishing 2.8 million bitcoins lost. This makes the percentage of lost coins based on what has been mined today to be at between 17 and 23%. Now, when you look at gold, and I've seen reports, and I can't tell you, I can just tell you what I've heard. Basically, all the gold that's ever been mined is still around. It's still available. Some of it is gone. Yeah, it's sunk at the bottom of the ocean, the rest of it, but most of it is still here. Most of what was here 3,000 years ago is still here. All right? They haven't lost almost, we're talking about Bitcoin right now, 25% of, almost 25%, not quite, but almost 25% of all the Bitcoin that have ever been mined, which is a fancy term for just found on the internet, 25% of them are gone. They're gone, never to return, or nearly 20. They're approaching that number. And it says, because Bitcoin operates on a promise of limited supply, missing coins, especially verging on 25%, will clearly be playing a big part in determining the market. Supply and demand will be quite skewed if those coins are not mined, if those coins mined, excuse me, are not reflected on the market. All I'm trying to say with this article is if 25%, you're paying, if you want to go get yourself some bitcoins for $9,500 each, okay, be my guest. But this article in Cointelegraph, a publication that advocates Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, it's in favor of them. This is not, you know, they're conceding that if you get yourself, go get yourself 10 bitcoins for $9,500. Currently, the odds are somewhere between 20, maybe 25% of your 10 bitcoins will somehow disappear. Right? Now, I don't know if you get 10 of them for $95,000 and a quarter of them are going to disappear. And that doesn't, we're not talking about hackers stealing them right now. We're just talking about disappearing. Do you really want to do that? Is that something you really want to do? I mean, is that a good investment? And again, I look at it and I know, like I say, this stuff is, it's as tempting and as addictive as crack. I can imagine getting into this. Oh my God. I mean, what if, you know, you look at, you say, what if we fail to get into Bitcoin right now and it goes to 20,000 or some people say 100,000? Is that really possible? But what if it does happen? Aren't we going to feel stupid that we didn't do it? And yet, if you look at something that says, look, so far they're losing 20-25% of them are just being lost. That could be a lot of money right now. That wouldn't be a big thing when Bitcoins were a fraction of a cent each. You know, I lost 1,000 Bitcoins the other day when my computer crashed, but they were only worth a tenth of a cent each, so it worked out to be, I don't know, $1 or $10 or something. It was no big deal. $9,500 a coin, if the odds are somewhere around you're going to lose a fifth of them, that's a big deal. You got to weigh that against, and it's not just a question of you lose little money or you lose a lot of money. This is the kind of article that you look at and you say, you know, this crack might not be the best idea. It might be a great high, yeah, okay, I might concede that. But still, do I really want to get addicted to this stuff, or is this a bad idea? And this is just one of the signs. This is crazy. I mean, this is bizarre. I cannot see how this is going to have a happy ending. Sooner or later, reality is going to intrude on the Bitcoin market in a way that it's going to leave a lot of people just gasping for air. And this is one of the warnings, to my mind. This is a tangible warning coming from the cryptocurrency industry that said 20-25% have been lost.
My prediction is once gold takes off, you're going to see Bitcoin drop like you've never seen anything drop. And I don't think people are buying Bitcoin, you know, as a safe haven from gold. And it's like, who's really buying Bitcoin? Who's really behind pushing it to these levels?
Well, we did an article on this a couple of weeks ago where it was pointed out that this market is being moved by big players. And it's being rigged.
It's being rigged.
All right. And there's only one reason to rig the market. It's to pump and dump, right? That's what rigging's all about. We keep on making the price go higher and higher and higher in anticipation of the day when we, the riggers, will all of a sudden pull the plug, we'll sell all our stuff, and we'll get full price for it. Well, we'll get peak price for it. I don't know if you can say full price, but peak price, and then it'll drop like a stone, and all the rest of the poor suckers that we tricked into buying this stuff, they lose their assets. Mm-hmm. That's basically, I mean, if the market is rigged, that's what the plan is. They're not rigging it. Say, boy, we're going to do something wonderful for all these people. No, they're not. They're saying, we're going to hustle these people. We're going to take them for a bunch of dollars. And it's how far they're going to go before it happens remains to be seen. Or if it happens, remains to be seen. But
plus, you also have to ask yourself, supposedly, you know, you're using Bitcoin in the dark web. So is the dark web growing to the point of pushing Bitcoin as part of pushing it to the levels? I mean, is the dark web really becoming bigger and bigger, and you have more, you know, because that's supposed to be where all the criminal element, you know,
yeah, it's
where
supposed
your
to
transfers.
Be, but, you know, most of the people that buy, I saw a study on this back a while ago. I don't see that the dark web is a significant factor in Bitcoin. I don't doubt it's there and rest of that sort of thing, but what most people are buying
changed,
Bitcoins
though?
Like they buy lottery tickets down at the 7-Eleven.
Who in the
right,
heck
that's
pay
what we're doing with these things. And they're holding them because they think the day is coming where we're going to be able to retire on my Bitcoin lottery ticket. All right, and that's what they're doing. Most people don't use Bitcoin.
No.
They buy it and they sit on
it. And they
right? They're
it.
Just sitting on it.
And those are the ones
right,
that
well,
always
all right. You can do that, but
those
you know,
are the ones that always lose,
currency.
Al.
Well, maybe yeah. But I'm just saying it has to be recognized. And I think I've said before, one article I wrote a couple of weeks ago, one of the fascinations about Bitcoin is we don't understand it. One of the reasons we are prepared to invest in Bitcoin is it is a new technology, or at least it was associated with a new technology, which is the blockchain. And nobody understands it. Well, I won't say nobody, but most people have no idea what it means. That's what makes it so fascinating. It becomes mysterious. It becomes mystical. It becomes, oh my gosh, it's something supernatural practically. But the day is coming when Bitcoin will be as well understood as General Motors stock or Sears stock. And people are going to look at it and they're going to see fundamentals and they're not going to be persuaded by the mystery, by the, what is it? I don't know what it is. All I know is it's making more money, more money, more money. It's like a perpetual money machine. But it's not that. All right? And in fact, one of the strange things about it is I'm not sure anyone can tell you what it is. People say Bitcoin, but it's not really a coin. It's not really a money.
It's a one and a
what
dollar.
Is it? Cryptocurrencies. You know, we've given it a name, and the name helps us all. It must be money. It's a Bitcoin. That means it must be money. No, not necessarily. What is it really?
It's a one and an O.
It's a phenomenon.
One and
it's
a zero.
It's digital. It's digital. But it's a phenomenon, and you just have to wonder. I can't see this lasting. This is going to end badly. But I don't know when it's going to end. and that's the temptation. I think everybody understands this is going to end badly, but everybody's trying to get into it, betting that I'm smarter than the rest of those idiots, and I'll get out right at the top. I'll get out just before everybody tries to get out. I'll be the first one out the door when it's time to leave because I'm smarter than everybody else. And the truth of them, we're all tempted to think that. All right? But it won't even matter how smart you are. You may be the one person who gets out exactly at the right time. But this thing, when it goes, it's going to go like a stone. It's not going to be, you know, the price is going to fall 10% a week for over the course of the next 3 months. It'll be here today and gone tomorrow, or at least most likely, in my opinion. And so it's a confusion, it's a mystery, it's a phenomena, but is it real? Is it really money? Is it really a coin? Is it, what is it? And I think it's mainly just a kind of lottery.
It's fad, yeah.
It's kind of a, you know, and we're all taking a bet on it. We're taking a flyer on it and see what happens, but we shall see. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just want to remind the listeners to give us a call at 1-800. I think you just said that, 800-375-4188. We have some more 90% silver coming in, the BU quarters, the Washington quarters. They're at a great buy right now. You can purchase the $25 face value, or you can purchase a couple of those face values or a full bag if you'd like. Although the BU is getting a little hard to find, it's coming in little dribs and drabs and half bags at a time, but there's certainly enough of the circulated 90% silver that you can purchase in bags. But as we see these prices, I don't know, there's just been something a little different that's changed. And I don't know what it is. It's in the pricing. $20 gold pieces. So we had a little bit of a move today in gold. And since I quoted a large package a week ago, it was November 17th, and gold basically has moved $5-$8 since then, and $20 gold pieces have moved $20 and $25. So people might think, well, you know, what's the big deal on that? Well, it is a big deal. It shows that the tide is changing, and silver prices have become strong around the $17. And yes, I get it that they manipulate it and so forth, but beginning to see a change in the way things are being priced and in the premiums and so forth. So that means buying is being picked up, buying is picking up, and therefore I don't know. It's just going to be an interesting 2018. And
they're all interesting.
It's going to be exciting. I think 2018, for those who own gold and silver, is going to be an exciting year for gold and silver buyers, holders of gold and silver. And I think and certainly we're still at lows. Certainly, if you adjusted gold for inflation, we'd be around 2,000. But I think we're going to have a big breakout in gold and silver for 2018. So
I think we'd be more than 2,000.
Didn't I say 2,400?
No, you said 2,000.
Over 2,000, if it was inflation adjusted, be about 2,400. If you want me to be exact, so. But
we're big on being exact, Melody. I am. You know that that's just my nature.
Well, I'm going to move on before I open mouth and surf foot. Fred. But 1-800-375-4188. We're still on track. We're doing the final changes on the website as far as presenting a new website that will be a little more active online, not so much online selling, but certainly pretty much the same thing that you hear on these programs. You'll be able to see and hear and put your own input on the website. So I'm looking forward to that. Alfred?
Got an article here from Crisis Investing, and the headline is Trump's Financial 9/11. And the author says, Dr. Ron Paul first laid out a theory in 2006 in Congress, his speech he delivered in Congress, that traced the history of the U.S. dollar within the international financial system. He pointed out, again, this is 2006, all right, and here we are 11 years later. And Ron Paul pointed out at the time, he said, the one thing that would precipitate the U.S. dollar's collapse he identified, we'll get to it in a moment. He says, now that thing is about to happen. According to Paul, and this was the heart of his, this was the essence of his speech, this was the key paragraph or sentence. And he says, the economic law, that economic, that honest exchange demands only things of real value as currency, cannot be repealed. The chaos that one day will ensue from our 35-year experiment with worldwide fiat money, and I would say fiat currency, but in any case, Paul said fiat money, will require a return to money of real value. I agree with that 100%. And, you know, just to intercede here in Mr. Paul's or Congressman Paul's speech, once this existing fiat money system collapses, and they always do, they had something like, apparently the one report indicated there'd been about 275 attempts at fiat currency in world history, and all of them had ended badly. All right, it isn't like they work half the time; they work for a while, yeah, but they all end, and generally speaking, in fairly short order, a few decades, a couple generations, and bang, it's gone. I don't, for the moment. You talk to people about the fiat currency, and you try to explain to people that the little green pieces of paper aren't real money, and they look at you like, you know, like you're speaking in tongues. And how could it not be real money? Because you can take a stack of it down to the Ford dealer, and you can buy a new truck if that's what you want, or a new car, or whatever. It spends. How could it not be money? There's so much more to money than there is than just spending. But trying to explain that to people is a very difficult chore. But once this system collapses, and history makes it clear that while we can't say when the fiat dollar system is going to collapse, it's got to collapse. It's going to happen. It could happen before the end of this year. It might not happen till the end of this decade. Who knows when it's going to happen? We don't know. But it's going down. And it's not going to last for another century. It's not going to last for another 30, 40 years. It's going down fairly soon. And when it does, then people are going to begin to understand the concept of fiat currency. And once they do, in the midst of losing their mortgages and their homes and their cars and looking for work and finding and having to scramble just to find food to feed themselves and their family, they are going to wake up and they're going to say, never again. No more fiat currency. And they mean it, and they'll be sincere, and we won't have another one for probably another 20 years. They'll bring it back. I mean, it's like robbing banks or something. You know, we can all say it's bad to rob banks. Willie Sutton was wrong to rob banks. The hackers are wrong to rob banks. But it's something we are susceptible to temptation, and we're going to rob the banks if we get a chance. And we're going to put up another fiat currency if we get a chance, but only after the collapse of this one has been erased from a generation or two, from the memory of a generation or two of Americans. And when that's happened, somebody will come up with a great idea, and it'll sound great, and it'll lead us into another debacle. But it's human nature. It's what fools these mortals be. But the point I'm trying to make is that, as Mr. Paul points out, he says, the chaos that one day will ensue from our 35-year experiment with worldwide fiat money will require a return to money of real value. When the fiat system collapses, Mr. Paul, I believe he's exactly right. We're going to go back to a money of real value, and it won't be Bitcoin, and it won't be cryptocurrencies, and it won't be digital, and it won't be special drawing rights. Real value. It virtually has to be gold and silver. I won't say it'll be the first choice. It may be the last choice. But once this thing goes down and people realize, holy cow, this fiat currency is crazy, then they're going to say, wait a second, you got some silver? You got some gold? You know, let's see if we can trade something for your silver and gold. How about a car? How about a house? We can give you a heck of a deal, and you can. So Mr. Paul goes on. He says, we will know that day, meaning the day when we're going to return to real money. Well, now that day is approaching, the day when the fiat currency breaks. We will know that day is approaching when oil-producing countries demand gold or its equivalent for their oil rather than dollars or euros. The sooner the better. That was Dr. Paul's assessment. In other words, we'll know the dollar-centric monetary system, the worldwide fiat currency system, is about to end when countries start trading oil for gold or its equivalent, not dollars. And the reason this man, the reason this article has been presented here in Crisis Investing is that China recently announced a mechanism that will make it possible to trade oil for gold on a large scale for the first time in many decades. Right, and we've talked about this on the program before. China plans to, they're going to denominate, they want to sell product. They, if you sell your crude oil to China, China wants to give you yuan. And then you can use the yuan to go right back to China and buy air conditioners or cars or, you know, commodities or whatever it is China has to sell. Now, they recognize not everybody wants yuan, and therefore they've also backed this system up. If all they were going to do is sell oil or buy oil with yuan, they wanted people to sell their oil to China, and China would pay with yuan rather than dollars. If that's all they were going to do, there wouldn't be anything particularly remarkable going on here. It would be important, but it wouldn't be astonishing. But they've tied it into gold, where you can sell your crude oil to China, and they will give you yuan. And if you don't want yuan, don't want them, got a deal for you. You can give you, we can give you gold instead. And here's how it works. And we'll try to, It says this mechanism could undermine the petrodollar system, the system that supported the U.S. dollar as the top global currency since the 1970s. It will undermine the petrodollar system. How far it's going to go remains to be seen, but this is not a small issue. This is big. Oil is by far the largest and most strategic commodity market in the world. And until recently, virtually anyone who wanted to import oil needed U.S. dollars to pay for it. All right? Now, China is set to hit the petrodollar with a mortal blow. Today, China is the world's largest producer and buyer of gold. All by itself, that's an extraordinary. And, you know, it's one thing to be the world's biggest producer of gold, but it's, you're also the, you are not only the world's biggest producer. We might point to South Africa and say, well, they're the world's biggest producer of gold, but they sell all their gold. China doesn't sell its gold. It buys more gold in addition to what they're producing. They're the world's largest producer, and they're still buying more. That's strange, right? This is like Saudi Arabia being one of the largest producers of crude oil in the world, and they're actually importing crude oil. There's something going on here. This is, it's evidence that China really, really believes in gold. All right, they think there's something big happening here. China now has official reserves of over 180 or 160 million ounces. That's at least 5,000 tons. All right, and a lot of people, some people estimate they have over 20,000 tons, but their official reserves are 5,000 tons. It also has 400 million ounces in the ground that it could potentially mine. Well, you know, I could potentially dig a tunnel to China in the backyard, but you know, we won't count our ounces before they've been mined. But the U.S., by contrast, claims it has official reserves of around 260 million ounces. Well, so while China has at least 5,000 tons, 260 million ounces translates into about 8,200 tons for the United States. China has at least 5,000 tons, maybe 20,000 tons. We have at most 8,200 tons. And a lot of people think the gold has been sold from Fort Knox and from the Federal Reserve Bill, vaults in New York City and wherever, and they don't think the United States still has 8,200 tons of gold. Now, anyway, China has gold. But China's new golden alternative, or you can either take yuan, we'll give you yuan, sell us crude oil, you can take the yuan, or if you don't want the yuan, we'll get you gold. China's new golden alternative will allow anyone in the world to trade oil for gold. Now, that's interesting. When they say anyone in the world, it means it's somebody here in Texas. It implies, I won't say it means it, but it at least implies it's someone here in Texas could, in theory, be pumping crude oil out of the ground and selling it ultimately to China and being paid in gold. And it means that your oil well would become, would effectively become a gold mine, which is an interesting, you know, an interesting insight from my perspective. Here's how it all worked. The Shanghai International Energy Exchange is about to launch a crude oil futures contract denominated in Chinese yuan. It will allow oil producers to sell their oil for Chinese yuan. However, most oil producers don't want a large reserve of yuan. That's why China has explicitly linked the crude futures contract with the ability to convert yuan into physical gold through the gold exchanges in Shanghai, which is the world's largest physical gold market. Largest physical gold market. Not paper gold, physical gold in Hong Kong. The system won't touch China's official gold reserve. They've put a system together where if you don't want yuan, fine, we'll get you gold, but not our gold. You were gonna buy gold on the gold market. We're gonna buy it from international foreign sources, foreign to China, and we will use this foreigner's gold to pay for your crude oil. The oil producers will have two ways of doing this. One, immediately convert the yuan they receive from selling oil into physical gold at the spot price for immediate delivery. You give us oil today, we give you gold tomorrow, right now. Or two, lock in the gold to be delivered at a future date for a fixed yuan price with a gold futures contract. This eliminates any uncertainty because of fluctuating prices. And I know this is confusing to listen, but the bottom line is that it will allow oil producers, to sell oil for gold, not for dollars. And that's what the petrodollar system depends on. Right now, if you want about what we've had since 1971, predominantly, it's been exclusively for 30 years or more, and it is still predominantly, if you wanted to buy crude oil, you had to have dollars to do it. This system will allow oil producers to sell oil for gold, not for dollars, for gold. Producers will be able to completely bypass the petrodollar system and any restrictions, regulations, or sanctions in the U.S. financial system, and it means that the value of the dollar is going down, and it also means the price of gold is going up. We're going to take a break, a couple more commercials. Melody and I will be back in just a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Adisk, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm here with co-host Melody Cederstrom. What's next, Melody?
What's next? You've been doing terrific today. So I was just sitting back and listening. So
You're ready to go dozing off, is what you mean?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, I was very.
Well, you know
much
that last
attention.
Section we're talking about this new program coming out of China. Where you can, they have set up a system where they will buy your crude oil if you have crude oil to sell. And you have a choice of being paid in yuan or in gold. Now, that is a very tempting situation. I guarantee there's a lot of people that are producing oil right now who would be happy to be paid in gold. They would, and it will threaten the dollar. I think it's potentially even the government of the United States has to be concerned about this, and they have to regard this as an act of war, I think, because it's going, it's not just going to be a little annoyance. I think this is going to threaten the dollar in a way that is unprecedented to the, at least so far. We'll watch and see. Maybe the government doesn't think it's as big a deal as I do, but I think this is massive. I think it's the sort of thing where somebody could say, we got to do something with China to stop this. I don't think they will. But I would be astonished if they weren't talking about it. If there weren't people in positions of power say, oh my God, what are we going to do? It's going to accelerate problems, and this is supposed to start up before the end of this year. Right, this Chinese program is supposed to be established, up and running, before New Year's. All right, so we've got 4 or 5 weeks that until it's certainly established and starts run. And it implies we can only speculate what's going to happen and what will be the consequences. But those consequences should begin to be seen. Right, they might not be immediately significant, but they should begin to be seen. First quarter next year, maybe even January, and the world will not shake at that moment, but it'll start to shimmy just a little bit, and we'll watch and see how far this can go and if it's as serious as I think it is, or maybe it's much ado about nothing. But I can't see that. I do not see that, because again, we talked about gold being the biggest producer of gold and the biggest buyer of gold, China being the biggest producer of gold and the biggest buyer of gold. China's also the biggest consumer of crude oil in the world, which means there's a certain amount of what China says, what China wants, China gets. If it was a question of Canada had set up a similar system, well, that would be interesting. But I don't think it would be particularly significant. China, this is significant. And didn't close. We ran out of time in the last section. And just to close it down, I believe this is an important radical change. And we'll watch and see. But this, Melody said she thinks that 2018 is going to be an extraordinary year. Well, this situation with the Chinese currency, if this goes through, and if it's as significant as I believe it has to be, that could be, the mechanism that makes 2018 an extraordinary year. Because what China's doing, if this happens, it has to raise the price of gold. More people are going to want it. They're going to want to get paid in it. And as the demand for gold increases, it has to increase the price. We went up 10% so far this year in the price of gold. We can assume You can sit back and you can speculate that we'll go up at least 10%, maybe 20% next year, and maybe more than that. I mean, we'll watch and see, but something to keep your eyes on and pay attention to it and try to understand it as best you can and begin to anticipate what the consequences are likely to be and, you know, invest accordingly. What do we got here?
I mean, you have so many things that are just coming unwound. I mean, with all this sexual harassment and all these, everything that's coming out, you have, you know, the $15 million, that's what we've been told. It's probably twice that or more as far as what was spent to, you know, to for these congressmen and senators and so forth to have their little forays with their little little girls and so forth to cover up, to pay off, to...
You know what really galls me about that?
What?
You know where that $15 million is coming from? From the taxpayers.
I know that. You didn't know that?
Well, look.
Yes.
It seems to me that where is the penalty for engaging in sexual activity in Congress if you know that even if you get caught, we'll keep a lid on it, we'll get the idiot taxpayers to pay for it.
How does that get passed?
It seems to me that the $15 million ought to be coming out of the congressman's pension fund. Or their paychecks. But the Congress itself, you want to hide your little peccadilloes and rest that? Fine. Hide them if that's what you want to do, but you pay for them.
Listen,
no, we're
going to
let the public pay for it.
It's not the congressmen or the senators who had the harassment claims and so forth. What I want to know is it had to be on budget. It had to be passed and approved to be paid.
Yeah.
Or it was theft. Or it was, it was embezzlement.
If oh, it was mislabeled without.
But it had to be paid. It had to be approved.
Oh, yeah.
By the committees of the budget.
I understand that.
And that goes all the way to the president.
Which tells you what?
And I'm not saying Trump. I'm saying for the past presidents.
But it tells you, if it's got to be approved by Congress, if I'm sitting here and I'm voting with everybody in my neighborhood wants to vote that we're going to conceal the theft of diamonds. All right? Why do I want to conceal the theft of diamonds? Look, the guy across the street may have stole the diamonds, but why do I want to conceal that theft? The answer is somehow, one way or another, I'm in on it.
That's my point. Right? Yeah, I mean,
it's the same thing with Congress. I mean, if they're all voting, don't say anything about it to the idiot voters, but we'll pass a little law here where if anybody gets caught fooling around with their secretary or their pages or whatever, we'll pay them off out of a slush fund here, and we won't say anything. Keep them quiet. Nobody will know. Why would all or the majority of 435 congressmen and the majority of 100 senators, 535 of them all together, why would the majority vote and say, yeah, let's do this. Let's conceal a crime. And it's almost impossible to imagine them doing that unless they are committing the same crime as well. You never know. You know, I might get caught. I never did trust that secretary of mine. She's a beauty, but I don't trust her.
And the thing of it is, they knew what they were voting on and they passed because it didn't take much for this to be released. I mean, that somebody knew right where it was at in order to say, hey, look what we've been doing. We've been spending $15 million to cover up these guys' sexual harassment claims. So, I mean, they had to... It's not like something that they didn't know about it.
No, I know. That's another point.
You don't hear any of them talking about...
If you only got one guy in Congress who's doing this, okay, we find out. What do? Throw him out.
Throw him out.
That's what should be done. That would give the people some confidence. Congress, guess what? Congressman caught somebody who was fooling around with his secretary. All right, making unwanted advances toward the secretary. What did Congress do? They did the ethical thing. They did the honorable thing. They threw the SOB out. Okay. You know, it'd be, well, we got a congressman who's crooked or was oversexed or whatever. But most of the congressmen, they are honorable and men are filled with integrity, and men and women did the right thing, throw them out. Hooray for Congress. Congress is concealing. And it can't be because there's only one sexual predator on the hill. Understand? Mm-hmm. It's got to be that this is regular sport for congressmen. And they want, and if push comes to shove, they can always buy off whoever it is that's complaining. Or at least they could up until now.
But, I mean, you have all of these things. I mean, it is, you know, why is everything is just being released now? You have these, you know, just distractions. You have so many distractions from truly what's important that's going on. And whether they get a tax reform plan passed or not, who knows? Who knows? But and how much impact is it going to have? The way I look at it, the tax reform bill, it's already had a positive impact with the stock markets going to the level that they are. I think that's a big part of it. It's the confidence that these tax reforms would be done. So how much more can these tax reforms do? If you're looking about a year going into a year that I think everything else is going to unfold and have impacts on a negative basis. So it's going to be if you thought this year was crazy, wait until next year. It's times this year times four. I think that's what we're going to have next year.
I disagree about the four, Melody. I don't think it'll be. I think two would be enough to get everybody's attention. Three is likely. Four, I don't know. Four times worse than 2017. I don't know.
Has there ever been a time you agreed with me?
There have been times.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Really? Oh, okay.
You can tell those are the ones where you say something and I have no comment.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything back. I must have agreed.
Oh, okay. Is that it? Is that how that works?
That's how it works.
Okay. All right. But Al Franken, he went on a little tour on Capitol Hill. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
You know, he could maybe team up with Kathy Griffin.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Get him out of Washington first.
Yeah, she's complaining that she's on some sort of a European tour right now. She's got, I don't know, six or seven more countries to go to, but she has no work in the United States after she comes home from the European tour, and she's much concerned about that. She wants the world to give her a break and lighten up on her and blah, blah, blah. I think we could have get Kathy and can't even think of his name. What is it now again?
Who Franken? Al Franken?
Yeah. Senior moment. Yeah.
Well, the happy news of
Franken
the day.
Franken and Griffin together again, you know?
Some happy news today. If you're British, Prince Harry they made the announcement that he's going to marry Meghan Markle, an American actress. And what's interesting is there's a lot of theory that she's actually Jewish. And so it's interesting. What I find about that is he's really going outside, you know, the bloodlines. And I don't know. It's kind of, because I do believe most of their brides are chosen.
It'll be another festival for the columnists and whatever.
Yeah.
She's going to marry a prince, and he's going to marry an American actress, and they're all going to live happily ever after for probably the next 5 years or so, and then by then the media will be all over them.
But it is interesting though, is if she
it'll
is,
be a circus.
I don't know if she is, but it would be interesting if she is Jewish. Just saying, kind of interesting.
Well, it'd be interesting if he wound up in line of succession to take over the throne.
Well, he's fifth in line.
Well, fifth.
Fifth in line, so I doubt he'll ever make it. But
I understand that.
But we'll see if these guys actually get married. You know, it reminds me that she would be sort of along the lines of Princess Diana. But
well, that's what I'm talking about. This will be a news media festival,
mm-hmm.
Right? I don't. There are no secrets in the internet age.
No. Nope.
There's part of the problem. And we're going to find a Hollywood actress.
That might be Jewish.
Did they make any mention of how she feels about Harvey Weinstein?
No.
I bet that's going to come up. I bet that's going to come up. You watch and see or something.
Well, she was previously married, too. She was previously married to a, you know, a director or, you know, or a producer in Hollywood, and he was Jewish. So, yeah, it will, you know, it is kind of interesting to see that they're actually allowing this to go on. But maybe since he's so far fifth in line, they... maybe they're allowing it and so forth, but you know, maybe the kingdom.
Oh, I'll bet you the queen is just madder than a hornet. You know, I bet she is. She isn't. She won't say it if she had a mouthful, but she is madder than a hornet. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's my speculation.
I would think.
Just got that little hat pulled down on her head, and she's snarling.
But
not often you see the queen snarl. She's a genteel female. She knows how to conduct herself. But she's going to be snarling if you can't, when you can't see her, when she's sure there's no cameras, she's going to be one angry queen. are out of time, Melody.
Yes, we are.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. Hope you tune in then. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Oh. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.